have been relevant, except that two appear to be made of a metal he hadn't seen before. Nothing came up when he examined it, so he hoped that Crom could tell him more. There were also the equivalent of several hundred gold coins and jewels of various types and grades, some quite valuable. Richter summoned another two mist workers to carry away all of the dross. He happily observed that each worker was somewhat larger than before. Analyze showed that they were both level 6 and had a higher health and stamina than their level 1 counterparts, though their mana remained at 0. As the workers started hauling the trash away, Richter happily placed his new empty soulstones in his bag. The amber jewels were as good as gold to him, and he felt all warm and fuzzy as they flowed through his fingers. Looking around, Richter saw that all of the bodies had been taken away, so he and Sion decided to leave the caverns. They moved carefully through the crystal garden. Neither wanted to cut or impale themselves on the overlarge shards. Both men pushed through the waterfall and walked back into the sunlight. The sunshine quickly started drying them, and they were in good spirits. As they walked east towards the cauldron, they just enjoyed the day. Storm clouds hovered above the mountains to the north, heralding showers overnight, but for now the weather was fine. Richter's pleasant mood faded as they neared the large hole the mist workers had dug. Chapter 10, Day 111, Qubhorn 1, 15,368 EBG. The mist workers had already dug a grave that was 10 by 10 feet and was 8 feet deep. The bones had been laid out in rows. Sumiko's tan-clothed healers were taking the time to arrange the bodies where it was possible to do so, but there were still piles of bones. Some pieces were only fragments. Sumiko's back was to them as they approached. Richter touched her shoulder and his breath caught. The healer's cheeks were tear-streaked and her eyes were red. There was nothing timid in the timbre of her voice, though.
"Promise me that the thing responsible for all of this death has been utterly destroyed."
Her tone was half question, half command. There was no doubt in Richter's mind that if he had said no, she would organize a war party of her own somehow.
"It's dead," he told her. "I can promise you that."
Her shoulders relaxed ever so slightly, but then she started shaking.
"These people,"
her voice caught.
"These people suffered agony beyond comprehension. They were tortured and played with. Sometimes they were allowed to heal before whatever did this began to hurt them again. The creature that did this was worse than a demon. It has left a residue on these bones that was pure, unadulterated hate."
The healer started sobbing. Surprised that the tough old woman could be so affected, Richter put his arm around her, holding her while she grieved for people she had never met. Sumiko only allowed herself to vent her emotions for a few minutes.
"You were right to call me. Some of these remains are so steeped in powerful emotions like hate and despair that if they are not put to rest in the right way, you would have more to worry about than some death mage reviving them. This many tortured souls could have desecrated the land. The evil creatures that would have been birthed or attracted to these remains, it is better not to contemplate."
Richter's eyes widened. Those remains have been hidden with the dark aberration for centuries, maybe millennia. Why isn't this place already overrun with ghosts?
"A dark aberration? That is what did this?"
The sprite woman shuddered.
"From what I know of those foul creatures, they feed on misery. The residual pain coming off of these bones, and whatever spirits may still be tied to them, must have fed it. As detestable as such a creature would be, its presence kept the evil of these remains in check. Now, though, they need to be put to rest.
I will do what I can, but we need to align these bones as best we can to truly dispel the evil."
"I have tried, but..."
She stopped and almost started crying again. She controlled herself, though, and said,
"But the spell I know to commune with the remains connects me to the unfiltered evil they were steeped in. I have fought undead and monsters for countless years, but this is something different. I simply cannot link my mind to whatever did that. Can you help?"
"You have been offered a quest. Lay to rest. The remains of the accumulated victims of the dark aberration are steeped in evil and negative energy. Find a way to still these disquieted spirits, Do you accept? Yes or no? Penalty for failure or not accepting. Possible desecration of this land. Reward unknown.
Well, he couldn't let his village get haunted. This wasn't a cheesy 80s horror flick.
Why anyone would ever argue with ghosts that told them to leave a house was beyond him. If ghosts had started appearing in his condo back home and told him to get the hell out, well, he'd have gotten the fuck out. Hell, if he left these bones here, he'd be worse than the people in the movies. At least the family in Poltergeist hadn't known that their house was built on an Indian burial ground. They'd just been too dumb to leave when the kids started sliding across the floor. He would have to be the biggest dumbass in the world to actually put the evil spirits in the ground. Best just to avoid the problem altogether. Despite the clarity that something had to be done, for a moment, Richter considered another option. He could just bury the remains far outside of the village. Hell, if he put them in the right place, the undead that rose might even serve as a defense installation against potential enemies. It was just an idle thought, though. Looking at Sumiko's tear-stained face, he reminded himself that these people deserved to be put to rest. Also, he had an idea about how to figure this out.
Futin, go get Bane as quickly as possible. When you find him, tell him to hurry.
The remnant floated off and Richter turned to Sumiko. I trust this won't be a problem.
Why would I have a problem with your alchemist? I have healed him before, she responded.
Richter and Sion looked at each other before the Chaos Seed gazed at the village healer again. Because he's a death mage. Her face stiffened.
A death mage?
The sprite took a deep breath and released it loudly.
That does not bother me. I love all forms of life, even the lowest forms of it.
She locked eyes on Richter.
I am completely fine and relaxed.
Raising both eyebrows, Richter nodded slowly. I can see and feel that.
Yeah, Sion echoed. You can cut the relaxation with a knife.
Sumiko said some sharp words to the archer in sprite speak, not appreciating his attempt at humor. Sion suddenly found an urgent reason to be elsewhere. She had spoken so quickly that Richter had to replay the words to understand them, but he pieced together that it had something to do with telling Daniela a story about him and another female sprite named Palia. Before his friend could go too far, Richter asked him to go back to the Crystal Garden with some of the mist workers and put them to work. The sprite left with 14 of the gray figures in tow. Richter had lost count of the workers he had summoned, but there had been almost 20 working on the burial pit. It made him realize that his time might be better spent helping build his village rather than always adventuring around. Using his personal mana pool, he could summon hundreds of mist workers a day. He had been meaning to try his hand at constructing buildings anyway. What kind of man didn't want to swing a hammer from time to time? Richter joined the healers in trying to figure out how to match up the remains. After about 20 minutes, Bayon came trotting up. Richter sent Futin along with 5 more mist workers and told him to relieve Sion.
You sent for me, Lord Richter? The gnome asked.
Richter nodded and filled him in. He had remembered Bayon saying the first death spell he had learned allowed him to commune with the dead. The mage had also said that the spell only worked on the recently departed, but Richter was hoping that Bayon had another trick up his sleeve. Bayon listened with a serious look on his face, not speaking until Richter had finished. He nodded at the end and stepped back. The gnome's left hand wove in a complex configuration, and he spoke several words of power. About a third of the remains started to glow with dark purple energy. Some only faintly, but a few adopted an intense aura. The effect faded several seconds later. Bayon turned to Richter and said,
Lady Sumiko is correct. There is a large amount of residual energy and a good deal of it is malevolent.
He looked thoughtful for a moment.
Some of these remains would actually be quite useful to me if you would allow me to take them away.
What? Came a screech from behind Richter. Sumiko came up from behind the Chaos Seed and barreled between them.
These people have suffered enough. They deserve to be put to rest.
Bayon puffed his chest out and his face adopted an annoyed cast.
They are at rest. Whoever these people were has faded countless years ago. All that is left are bones. We could throw them away, or I could put them to good... Just like a death mage, she cut in scathingly. All you see are components to be used when you look at people.
Ban's expression relaxed, and he gave the life mage a smarmy expression.
I understand why me using these bones might make you uncomfortable. You are mostly bones yourself. They must look like family.
Sumiko pulled herself up to her full 3.5-foot height.
If I wanted a lesson about life and death, I would speak to a full-fledged deathmaster, not a short little novice like yourself.
I am an initiate woman,
Ban said indignantly. Looking down at her from his 4-foot height, he finished with,
And who are you calling short?
She slowly looked from his face to his groin, then back up.
You,
she replied, raising one hand. Her fingers glowed for a second.
And to be clear, I called you short and little. I am a life master. I can feel an abundance of life. I can also detect a lack of it in certain places.
Her gaze drifted down for just a moment. Then, without another word, she turned and stalked away. Dan's face turned beet red, and even the shiny bald pate on top of his head turned an angry scarlet. He took a loud, deep breath in, most likely preparing to flay the flesh from Sumiko's bones with scathing comments, but Richter decided the exchange had probably gone far enough. He clapped a hand on Ban's shoulder and said, Take a lap, man. Don't fight with old ladies. If you win, you're a bully. If you lose, you're a bitch. Just learn not to play.
But
I know. That was fucked up what she said. I'm sure you're like a mighty oak with a crazy long branch in the middle of you. That's not the point, though, and honestly, even that one compliment just made me feel crazy uncomfortable. As to your request, I'm siding with her on this. These people deserve to be put to rest. Do what you can to help, because soon they are going to be buried. Please. Clearly still irritated, Ban still followed Richter's command. He walked over to the jumble of bones and started directing the young healers in regards to the best way to separate the remains. Sumiko immediately gave them other directions. Seeing a resurgence of hostilities coming, Richter ordered two of the mist workers to follow Ban's instructions and let the sprite govern her own people. They all worked for the next few hours until most of the skeletons had been reassembled. Some were missing pieces, and there were some pieces that did not match any others, but they had done what they could. Besides, there were always extra pieces when you put something together. What was important was that Sumiko could cast a mass spell now that the remains were reassembled. Each skeleton glowed golden for a moment, then the light faded and they looked the same as before. Richter shook his head. As happened so often in life, the conclusion was anticlimactic. He didn't complain, though. After the spell was done, she supervised them all being placed into the ground, and the mist workers filled in the hole. The life mage looked tired but satisfied. A prompt filled Richter's vision. You have completed a quest. Lay to rest. The remains of the Dark Aberration's victims have been purified and can now be safely buried. Reward, 3,125 experience. For his part, Ban had found a loophole in Richter's order. The Chaos Seed had said, lay the people to rest. The gnome had kept a few animal and monster remains off to the side. Even Sumiko couldn't mount a good argument against that, though she still protested. Richter was concerned about any bad vibes, as he called it, coming off of the bones, but Ban assured him there was no danger. He just wanted the bones for research. The fact that there was a slightly manic look in his eye as he said it was something Richter decided to let go of. Everyone was somewhat tired when they were done, but both Sumiko and Ban assured him that the remains were safe now. The sprite healer took one last parting shot at the death mage.
Have fun with your bones, Ban. It should be a nice change for you to be able to hold something hard.
Before the gnome could respond, she beckoned with two fingers, and all of her healers fell in step behind her like turtle in drama. Ban looked at Richter in offended disbelief, but the Chaos Seed just shook his head. Don't try to shout after someone with an entourage. It just makes you look desperate. Let's go grab some dinner. Sion decided to stay at the cauldron to prepare the blood crystal. Richter nodded in extreme appreciation. Then he banished Tabia and Ban from the core building until morning. There was the predictable amount of wailing and gnashing of teeth from the elvish woman, but Richter stayed firm. He couldn't let anyone else find out about the red crystal's unique properties. He told his friend that he would send a mist worker up with some food, and he also left three of the gray figures at his friend's disposal. Richter walked off with Alma circling above, and a barely seen giant snake sliding through the calf-high grass beside them. Chapter 11, Day 111, Kuborn 1, 15,368, EBG. Richter ate a bit with his people, but his belt of sustenance greatly reduced the amount of food and rest he needed. After only a few bites, he was full. He was going to leave, but then he learned the truth that actions can often have unforeseen consequences.
No! I will speak to him, and I will do it now!
Richter looked to the side just in time for him to see Jean grab a woman right before she slapped him. Her face was tear-streaked, and her eyes were red. The guard looked back and forth between the woman and his lord, his face a picture of embarrassment and chagrin.
I am sorry, my lord.
The Chaos Seed analyzed the distraught woman and found out that her name was Louisa. He was confused for a moment until he remembered Jean mentioning that that was his wife's name. Everything became clear.
Do not apologize for me,
Louisa said to her husband. Her tone was a mix of anger and sorrow.
You were almost killed. And for what? Because your lord needed to kill a giant?
She turned her gaze back to Richter.
Was it worth it? Would it have been worth it if my husband had died?
Richter just looked at her, at a loss for words. All other conversation had stopped in the feast area. Before he could reply, Jean spoke again.
My lord, I'm sorry about this. I will accept any punishment you deem necessary, but please do not hold my wife's word against her. She is motivated by her love for me.
The Chaos Seed held up a hand, cutting his guardsmen off. He stood slowly and faced the couple. The eyes of every villager were trained on the three of them. He chose his next words carefully. Your husband's life is precious to me, Louisa. Your life is precious to me. The lives of all you, Richter said, addressing the crowd, are precious to me. He looked back at Louisa. I will not be callous with your husband's safety. But he has chosen to stand for something. He decided to fight to protect you and the way of life we are creating here. I repeat, his life is precious to me, and I will do what I can to safeguard it, but make no mistake. We are in danger. All of us are in danger. Our enemies are out there, and we have to get stronger for the sake of the village, for the sake of all of us.
I don't want to hear about all of us,
Louisa spat. She looked at Jean, and her face crumpled.
I only want to keep your name off of that memorial wall.
Then she hurried away, weeping. Jean looked at his liege and started to speak again, but Richter stopped him. Go take care of her. Don't worry about this, he said. Jean nodded gratefully and ran off after his wife. Richter stood there, uncertain how to feel. Conversation resumed among the tables of villagers. As he looked around, he felt better when many of his villagers lifted a mug in his direction and when his guards placed their fists over their hearts and nodded respectfully. What Louisa had said was valid. It just didn't reflect the whole story. It was reassuring to know that his people still respected and supported him as a whole. He saw Tirad walking into the feast area and waved him over. Isabella was with him.
Good evening, my lord, the captain said.
Good eve, Lord Richter,
the herbalist echoed as she gave him a warm hug.
I'm guessing you heard that, Richter asked. They both nodded. Do you think she was right?
Tirad looked him squarely in the eye and then said slowly,
We could have approached the fight with the giant in a better way, my lord.
Isabella just stood silently, but then she reached out a hand and squeezed Richter's arm reassuringly. He nodded to her in thanks. Richter reflected on everything that had just happened for a few more moments before changing the subject. Both Tirad and Isabella were equally eager to move past the tense moment. The garden seems to be coming along well, he complimented the elfin woman.
It is,
she replied excitedly, stepping back.
The Naylan weeds are budding faster than we could have expected. The forest sage is almost growing faster than we can pick it, and the coral megany, I am happy to say, is finally sprouting. We were also able to place some seeds for a corinth shrub in the cellar under the dragon's cauldron, and I've seen the first tendril of growth. Do you know what that means, my lord?
Richter laughed out loud at the woman's excitement.
I have no idea, but I'm sure it's great.
I have a question for you, though. Would you like to be the official herbalist for the Mist Village? Isabella's mouth dropped open in an O of excitement, and she looked quickly back and forth between Tirad and Richter. Then she gave Richter another enormous hug and said,
"Yes, yes, yes, yes!"
Richter smiled and awaited the prompt, saying he had discovered another job, but nothing appeared. He didn't let her see his disappointment, though, and soon she had run off to see the other gardeners and share her good news.
"That was very kind, my lord," Tirad said as he looked at his love, smiling.
"When are you going to make an honest woman out of her?" Richter asked, watching Isabella as well. Tirad turned towards Richter with a frown.
"I assure you that Isabella is an extremely honorable woman, Lord Richter."
Richter chuckled, which only deepened Tirad's frown until Richter explained, "I know Isabella is honorable. I was asking, when are you going to marry her?" Tirad's face made an O to mirror Isabella's previous expression. The captain suddenly grew somewhat shy.
"This is obviously something I want with my entire heart. When we lived in law, it was not feasible under the new king's laws. Polluting the bloodline, it was called. If the guards found out, the punishment was severe."
Tirad looked off into the distance for a moment.
"I lost good friends to the king's dungeon because of this horrible law."
Richter just stood next to his companion. There wasn't anything that he could say that would make up for the loss of a loved one. There was no reasoning with someone else's bigotry. It was madness, pure and simple. Happily, Tirad shook off his melancholy mood and gave Richter a calm smile.
"I have considered asking her to bond her life to mine, but there always seems to be so much to do.
As someone who will most likely never see his birthplace again, take my advice, Tirad. Don't wait for the right time. There are always reasons to wait, but there is not always a tomorrow. Carpe diem, dude. Seize the day."
Tirad nodded and thanked Richter for his advice.
Richter started to walk off, but then the captain said,
"Have you had a chance to look at the remains?"
Richter shook his head in confusion.
"Remains?"
"Of the spiders and rock giant. We had to use tree trunks to roll the giant's body to the edge of the mist, but once there it was easier. You familiar summoned enough mist workers to bring the giant back to the village. I had the bodies dragged over to the hunter's cleaning site on the eastern edge of the village."
Cha-ching! Richter literally heard a cash register noise in his head. Who knew what kind of great goodies those remains might have? It might even cheer Bayon up after Sumiko had made him her bitch. Saying goodbye to his captain, he jogged over to the gnome, who did indeed perk up when Richter told him what was waiting for them not too far away. The two of them left the feast area. Bayon was basically skipping by the time they got close to the hunter's cleaning site. As Richter walked, he periodically summoned mist lights and threw them up along the path. Soon, his village would be lit up day and night, all year long, he thought happily. When they arrived, none of the hunters were in the area, which was probably best. As Richter looked at the already foul-smelling carcasses of the dead spiders, he knew this was probably going to be super gross. Raising his eyebrows and pursing his mouth for a moment, he looked at Bayon. The gnome already had a knife out. His head was darting back and forth while he looked at a spider's carcass, as if trying to figure out where to start first. Sounding as magnanimous as possible, Richter said, "I suppose I could let you work on the queen, if you want. If you find anything good, I might be okay with you using it to make the potion you're using to compete with Tabia."
"Truly?" Bayon asked, excited. "You do not mind?"
"You will have to show me everything you find," Richter said admonishingly. "If the ingredient is super valuable, I might need to keep it myself."
Of course, my lord. I promise you will not regret this," Bayon said with a bright smile.
Richter pretended to ponder the matter for another minute, but then told the gnome to get to work. Bayon immediately drove his blade into the queen's body and started sawing upward. The dagger made a wet slurping sound. Green jelly immediately poured out over the death mage's hand, and a wretched scent filled the air like opening a dumpster in July behind a strip club. Richter's face wrinkled in disgust. That was not a memory that he had any desire to relive. He couldn't keep an involuntary "gawk" from escaping as he watched the alchemist work. When Bayon looked back, though, he snapped a strained smile into place and gave the mage a thumbs up. The gnome grinned widely, totally okay with the bit of rotting bug juice that had already landed on his face. Bayon just kept sawing. Richter turned his back on the gross tableau. He summoned a mistworker and placed it at Bayon's command, and then walked towards the figure that had been occupying his thoughts since he had spoken to Tirad, his old foe, the rock giant. The fading light made it somewhat hard to see, so he cast mistlight again. He was awarded with a clear view of the dead behemoth. It lay on its back, all 20 feet of it. The top of its chest was a full 4 feet off of the ground. Richter hopped up onto its stomach and walked toward its head. He was so used to seeing an expression of anger on the monster's face that viewing its lifeless visage was strange. This thing that he had so feared was now dead. A smile of satisfaction grew insidiously on Richter's face without him even knowing it as he looked at his vanquished enemy. Richter drew his elementum short sword from the sheath on his back. The blade made a shing as it came free. Richter hopped down and raised his sword. He had known before he got here what he was going to start with. His blade fell. It took 2 more strikes before the first spike of the giant's rocky crown fell free. He cut through the other 2 and then examined what he had found. You have found Spike of Rock Giant Crown. Durability, 211 of 211. Item class, unusual. Weight, 2.3 kilograms. Traits, can create a high-density weapon. This could also be ground down to augment earth-based potions or used to make a potion of electrical resistance. Richter put each of the spikes in his bag. Then he started cutting into the giant's face. The eyes did not produce a prompt, and neither did the tongue. He had to saw and bash the skull to get to the creature's brain. It started drizzling out while he was working. His sweat mixed with the bits of flesh and blood that were released from beneath the rock giant's exoskeleton. Harvesting useful parts from monsters was definitely not glamorous. Richter started cutting into the monster's chest. Its natural armor was 2 to 3 inches thick and made for slow going. Richter didn't want to ruin it, though. He sawed his sword along the side of its ribs, tracing a sleeveless vest pattern. Then he started skinning it. If he didn't have an elementum blade, he didn't think he would have been able to manage this. Even with the wondrous metal, the short sword was not ideal for this kind of work. It was only because of the rock giant's massive size that the weapon was at all feasible. Despite the difficulties, though, he was able to remove the rocky chest plate. You have found rock giant exoskeleton. Durability 648 of 648. Item class unusual. Weight 37.1 kilograms. Traits. Can create a high density armor. This could also be ground down to augment earth-based potions or used to make a potion of electrical resistance. Richter started on the rest. It took another hour to remove the exoskeleton from its legs and arms. That only left the giant's back to be skinned. Before he ordered the mist workers to turn the giant over, though, he started to examine some of the small fragments that had fallen off of the giant's exoskeleton. Even though he had picked up a rock that was smaller than a baseball, it weighed as much as a bowling ball. No prompt came up as he examined it, but he had an idea. He cast Create Soulstone Common with his left hand. White light bathed the gray-black chunk of rock in his right hand, and it began to change. In no time, the rock had been replaced with a multifaceted amber jewel. It had worked! You have found Soulstone, level common, status empty. Richter examined the prompt. The loose rubble around him could be turned into common soulstones. The marbled quartz that was spread throughout the hills around the village had been used to make soulstones for the hunters, but it only made stones that could hold basic level souls. Looking around at the many small rocks that had littered the ground, he smiled. There were dozens of rocks here, maybe hundreds. And pieces of the rock giant made common-level stones, a full level stronger than the basic stones the quartz made. Richter collected the rest of the small rocks and put them in his bag. He could always convert them later, and if he decided to invest in the talent that let him make stronger soul stones, he didn't want to waste the materials. Richter was about to summon several mist workers to roll the giant's carcass over when his eyes fell on a piece of the giant's flesh that had fallen to the ground. Unlike the dark, rocky skin, the meat was a pale pink. You have found rock giant flesh. Durability 13 of 13. Item class unusual. Weight 1.3 kilograms. Traits. This tender flesh is found beneath a rock giant's tough exoskeleton. Properly prepared, this flesh can give a strength boost if eaten. Richter's face wrinkled in disgust. Eat this thing? Could he do that? Richter looked at the massive amount of flesh in front of him and considered the morality of eating a semi-sentient creature. It didn't make him a cannibal exactly, but at the same time, how did you draw that line when there were so many intelligent species in the world? Back on Earth, he would have felt bad about eating dolphin. On the other hand, dolphins were not malignant creatures that delighted in the pain and suffering of others. This thing did. Richter thought about it for long minutes, then thought back to a conversation that he had had with Yoshi months ago. He had been concerned about the sprite judging him for Alma's special brain drain attack. To feed her more enemies, he would cripple enemies so that she could feed on them one by one with impunity. It meant the creatures suffered longer than otherwise would have been necessary. Yoshi's response was simple and absent of judgment.
Any opportunity to get stronger should be taken.
Richter stared at the rock giant's carcass. Yoshi's statement was overly simplistic, but it held a strong truth at the same time. Richter knew that there were some lines that he wasn't willing to cross, but this wasn't one of them. He started cutting into the body. Large chunks of bloody meat fell to the ground after he cut them free. He sent Futin ahead to the cooks with instructions to preserve the meat. Also, anyone with the cooking skill should see if they could unlock the properties of the flesh. Ideally, the meat could be turned into travel rations that the strike groups could consume before going into battle. He kept cutting into the body. After digging into the leg, he uncovered one of the giant's long bones. The durability on the long bones was insanely high to support the heavy mass of its exoskeleton. You have found rock giant long bones. Durability 3,792 of 3,792. Item class unusual. Weight 37.1 kilograms. Traits. The high density long bones support a rock giant's frame. These bones are too dense to be easily worked into anything useful. It is possible they have further uses that may one day be unlocked, however.
Richter was surprised at the lack of organs. The magic that allowed the monster to exist had apparently made them unnecessary, or so Richter thought, until his blade met something it didn't immediately cut through. It was in the rock giant's chest, on the left side where a human's heart would be. He cut around the obstruction and found that it was roughly spherical. The short sword wasn't the right tool for the job, and ultimately, Richter ended up using his hands. His strong hands ripped through the meat surrounding what he had found. After 10 minutes of struggle, he was able to shove his arms deep into its chest. His fingers found the bottom of the object, and he lifted. It turned out to be a round rock about the size of a soccer ball. The surface was pitted like a meteorite, and it had sharp projections sticking out at odd spots. Strangely, the outside of the stone was mildly reflective in the spots that were not still covered in gobbets of pink flesh or rotting fluid. A prompt appeared. You have found rock giant heart. Durability 78 of 78. Item class scarce. Weight 14.9 kilograms. Traits. This metallic sphere is the focus of the magic which powers the rock giant. This metal can be smelted for powerful weapons or armor. Know this. Your talent, Synergy of Items 1, has allowed you to identify a possible object set. Spike of Rock Giant Crown times 3, Rock Giant Exoskeleton, and Rock Giant Heart. This series of objects can be turned into an item set, among other options. As of now, you do not have the requisite skills to make anything useful from these objects. Take them to other craftsmen to obtain their input.
Richter looked at the hunk of metal excitedly. Despite his earlier judgment of Bayon for getting covered in gore, he was now standing inside of a monster's body, covered in congealed blood and flesh, smiling lovingly while he held a mortal enemy's heart. None of this penetrated his psyche, though, as he was so overcome with thinking of possible uses for the object set. He was so enthralled by his discovery that he didn't see the three hunters that had been watching him for the last few minutes. All three exchanged looks and walked back towards the village proper. They didn't speak, but all of them came to the same conclusion. Their lord was not someone to fuck with. Chapter 12, Day 111, Qubhorn 1, 15,368 EBG. Richter cut up the rest of the body, sending the meat to the cooks and the rest of the thick skin to the forge. Night had fallen, but with the mist lights overhead, there was more than enough light to work by. Futin had come back while he was working, which was the only break that Richter took. He sent the remnant right back into the village to gather Sumiko, Zar, Quasia, Glorin, Shiovanna, and Roswan at the Forge of Heavens. He wanted his top casters and craftsmen to look at the item set and see if they could figure out anything useful to do with it. Mist workers carried everything away. When he was finally done, he walked over to where Bayan was working on one of the Asingai drones. "I'm assuming this means you've finished with the cutters and the queen?" Richter asked him.
"That I did," the gore-covered gnome said. "Let me show you."
He started showing Richter what he had found by butchering the drones. Then he moved on to the cutters and finished with the queen. "You have found a Singai spider drone leg. Durability 19 of 19. Item class common. Weight 0.8 kilograms. Traits: the hardened tip of this leg can be used to make a strong arrowhead. Times 292. You have found a Singai spider drone web sack. Durability 5 of 5. Item class common. Weight 0.8 kilograms. Traits: the webbing in these sacks has mild analgesic, sterilizing, and sedating properties. Each bundle of thread produced will decrease the durability of the sack by 1, times 37. You have found a Singai spider cutter scythe legs. Durability 31 of 31. Item class uncommon. Weight 2.9 kilograms. Traits: the four legs of a Singai cutters can be molded into strong blades, times 16. You have found a Singai spider cutter poison sacks. Durability 12 of 12. Item class uncommon. Weight 0.6 kilograms. Traits: a Singai cutters spit this caustic poison at enemies, can make a biologic acid, times 8. You have found a Singai spider queen axe legs. Durability 137 of 137. Item class scarce. Weight 4.4 kilograms. Traits: the four legs of an Asingai queen. These limbs can be used to make weapons of high durability and damage, times 2. You have found a Singai spider queen web sack. Durability 308 of 314. Item class scarce. Weight 4.8 kilograms. Traits: the webbing of this sack can create threads of exceptional strength and utility. The gossamer contents of this sack will respond to the will of the person retrieving them from the web sack, producing threads of various magical properties. The level of response is commensurate to the person's weaving skill. Each bundle of thread produced will decrease the durability by 1. You have found a Singai spider queen egg sack. Durability 205 of 273. Item class scarce. Weight 15.2 kilograms. Traits: the sack is created to speed the growth and maturation of a Singai. A clever alchemist could create a formula to make creatures grow faster and stronger than otherwise possible. Is that all? Richter asked sarcastically. The weapons from the cutters and drones were useful, but what had been recovered from the queen was incredible. He would have to review the tablet with all of the villagers on it to see if there was anyone with a high weaving skill. He had no idea what was possible with enchanted clothing in the land, but he was sure it was potentially spectacular. He was even more impressed with the egg sack. If he was reading the prompt right, the thing was filled with concentrated growth hormone. He knew just which clutch of scath babies he planned to feed it to. Richter summoned more workers to carry the spider legs to the forge and the egg and poison sack to the cauldron. Then he slid the web sacks into his bag. He summoned two more to start dragging the rest of the carcasses to the new pit the hunters were using for disposal. Helping the gnome, they finished harvesting the last useful goods from the spiders. Richter walked over to a water barrel and cast weak flame. A gout of orange fire shot into the water and heated it quickly. Both Richter and Bayon used the warm water to clean off the disgusting substances coating them. Once they were relatively clean, Richter put his clothes back on and walked over to the pit. Moving both arms together, he dual-cast weak flame. The orange flame turned an orange-yellow. He kept the flame trained on the remains until his mana was almost depleted. When he stopped the spell, the remains continued to burn. Bayon and Richter walked west into the village proper. The gnome wanted to go rest after his hours of work, but Richter pulled him along to the Forge of Heavens. The item set was something he couldn't ignore. When he got close, he heard arguing voices.
"The best thing to make be a set of augmented armor, you ninnies!"
Richter heard Glorin retort.
"I still say we can make a golem. Why risk a man's life in armor when we could create something stronger without him?"
"Can the two of you stop arguing for 3 seconds?
Sumiko asked in an irritated voice.
"I may not have many years left, but I promise that you two will have less if I have to hear you much longer."
"Dinna talk like that, me lovely," Crom said. "I already told you I can make you feel decades younger."
Richter heard an incantation and saw a flash of gold right before he was able to look around a weapons rack. He was just in time to see a giant gold fist grab Crom and throw the dwarf backwards. The dwarf flew 6 feet through the air and then skidded until he rolled into one of the smaller anvils.
"I will give you worse next time you decide to let your hand wander again, Master Dwarf,"
Sumiko spat at him, shaking her cane. Richter saw Crom sit up, blinking and looking confused. The light from the furnace cast shadows of red-tinged black that made it difficult to see exactly how badly the dwarf had been hurt. Richter would have been worried, but seconds later he saw his smith smile at Sumiko and then blow her a kiss. The sprite woman harumphed and turned her back on the dwarf. Several feet away, Quasia and Shiavona clapped, though it was unclear if they were cheering Sumiko or Crom. Zar just had one hand covering his eyes and was shaking his head as if embarrassed for his people. Trying not to laugh, Richter summoned a mistlight and carried it in his hand as he walked forward. As good as a clarion call, the new light announced his presence and everyone bowed slightly, placing their hands on their hearts. Waving the show of respect away, Richter said, "I'm glad to see that you're all having fun. I gather there are some ideas as to what we could do with these items." The objects collected from the rock giant rested together on the floor of the forge. Glorin opened his mouth to speak, but Richter cut him off. "I would like to hear from someone that hasn't already been speaking. Let's hold off on any further inevitable argument for a few minutes, shall we? Just so it's said, I have the ability to enchant an item set, but the pieces apparently have to be made into something useful first. Now that I know we are all on the same page, what are your ideas?" He looked at Shiavana and nodded at her. The elven shipwright shrugged.
"I could incorporate these pieces into the ship. If I widened the keel, we would be able to line the outside with this skin, I suppose, and not tip over, but we would basically be a slowly floating rock, which is to be expected because this,"
she kicked the rock giant's skin,
"is made of rock."
"So you're saying we shouldn't incorporate this into the ship?" Richter asked with a small laugh. Shiavana closed her eyes and shook her head while slowly mouthing, "No." "Okay then, moving on." Richter looked at Quasia, who shook her head. Zar did have an idea.
"I think these items could be used to make a golem," the dwarf said.
Glorin raised both arms and looked around in vindication.
"I do not know if that fits in with your new profession, but it seems like the obvious option. I do not have the requisite skill to make a golem, however. You would need an artificer to make a truly powerful one."
Richter looked at Glorin. "Can you make a golem?" The elf waffled for a bit before responding,
"Not exactly, but..."
"Which were my point, your lordship?"
Crom interrupted.
"I cannot make any fancy items, but I could make a great set of heavy armor and strong weapons from these things, and still have plenty of this rocky skin left over. I'll leave the enchanting to your lordship, but I can handle the rest."
"Any other thoughts or objections?" Richter asked. No one spoke up, though Glorin looked regretful about not having a good argument. He turned to Crom. "When can you have it done by?" Now it was the dwarf's turn to perseverate.
Well, you know, the thing is, your lordship, time be a fluid thing, and...
Bah! Richter said, waving his hand back and forth. We will talk about this again in a week or so. The main point about tonight was to get you all thinking. I won't make a final decision as to what to do with the object, Seth, until at least one of you can come to me with a solid plan. Understood? A chorus of, yes, my lord, echoed around the forge.
I am going to bed,
Sumiko said when no one else spoke. From her tone, it was clear that she would be leaving soon, whether Richter liked it or not. Crom started going over the objects again, and everyone else chimed in with ideas. Everyone except Bayon, that was.
Milord.
What is it, dude?
I would like to have some of the leftover skin, if possible.
Richter just looked at the gnome. Bayon looked around at anything but Richter. The gnome made eye contact for a second and then looked around again. You're not instilling me with confidence here, man. What the hell do you want the skin for? Bayon took a deep breath and motioned for Richter to follow him. They walked a short distance, and when they were out of earshot, the gnome said,
There was a set of old bones among the rest. A complete set.
Richter started to glare at him.
Non-humanoid, my lord. I swear it,
Bayon said quickly.
I didn't even know what they were at first, but I was able to determine that they were from an abyssal siphon.
The gnome looked at Richter excitedly. It was clear to him that Bayon was expecting some reaction to his pronouncement. It was equally clear to Richter that he was getting tired of people using words he didn't know. With infinite patience, he asked, What is an abyssal siphon? Bayon looked at Richter like he was an ignoramus, and Richter's fingers involuntarily curled into a fist. Reading the vibe, Bayon fixed his face and said,
A siphon is a creature that can adopt the body parts of other creatures. They can become the most dangerous monsters in a given area. Most other creatures kill them on sight because of this.
What do you mean, adopt? Richter asked.
After they have slain something else, they have the ability to incorporate the physical body parts of whatever they kill into their own body. For instance, it could have the stinger from a scorpion, or the claws of a hunting cat, or the nose of a bloodhound.
If these things are as dangerous as all that, why isn't the land overrun with them? What could possibly stand against them? Richter asked.
As far as I know, they are only found in void planes. They must be summoned to the land. That's why it is so rare to find the bones of one. My grandfather would have spent almost anything to find something like that. It could make an extremely powerful guardian for any caster.
Richter nodded. He could see why Bayon was excited. It did raise the question, though. Why didn't you tell me about this when you found the bones? And why did you just look so hesitant to tell me about the siphon? Bayon ran his hand over his bald pate before answering.
I did not share that I found the bones at the time, because I didn't want that shrew of a life mage to object. I was hesitant to tell you...
Bayon paused again.
The truth is that I have never used the spell to animate the bones before. It is from one of the spell books that I never learned. In the last fight, though, I reached skill level 10 in death magic. I only need another 3 levels before I can learn the spell. I am sure that I can master it, though.
Richter frowned. Is there a possibility that you might not master it? Bayon nodded, albeit reluctantly.
There is always a possibility that the magic you try to use might be more powerful than your will. It is one of the main reasons that there are magical colleges. Not just for the spread of knowledge, but also to increase the mental strength of casters.
Bayon's face firmed.
I know that I'm strong enough to control the spell and what it summons, my lord. I'm still at an affinity of 97%. I will be a master death mage.
Richter looked down at the fierce gnome. What is the spell?
Create skeletal familiar. It only creates a level 5 familiar, but whatever bones you use can retain abilities from life. That is why I wanted the skin from the rock giant. If the siphon keeps its ability to incorporate the dead, the giant's skin could make it truly formidable.
Richter thought about it some more. I have 2 conditions. One, when you cast this spell, you will do it with me and several others present. If this familiar starts acting savage, I want enough of us around to break it into bits.
Bayon looked pained by the possible outcome, but he nodded.
Richter continued, I need you to give me your books, just for a short time. I want to see if the scribes can copy them. If they can't, then I'll return them. If you have a level one spell that I can learn to start training in death magic, I would like to buy it from you. Bayon's face had grown pensive as soon as Richter mentioned the books. Richter had anticipated that, though. I know those books are precious to you. I've not forgotten what you have gone through to protect them for decades, but you need to remember something. You are not that same scared refugee anymore. You are a man standing on your own feet and a mage exploring your magic. I will do what I can to protect you while you do so, including helping you to create a powerful guardian, but you need to invest in me and this village. Richter fixed him with a steady gaze. Either you're really in, or you're not. Bayon stood quietly for several minutes, lost in thought. Richter did not rush him. From what Bayon had said before, the Chaos Seed understood that the books were not only valuable, they were also the gnome's only tie to his past and his murdered family. Richter hadn't wanted to push the issue, but every villager would be called on to make sacrifices for the future. Bayon had a treasure trove of spells, and he couldn't just risk those spell books being lost to time. It was way too hard and definitely too expensive to find new spells in the land. Everyone else continued speaking nearby. Finally, the Death Mage said,
"Do you promise me that you will not risk the books or do anything irrevocable before you speak with me?"
Richter nodded, and Bayon asked further,
"And I will get all of the books back when you are done?"
Richter nodded again. After a few more seconds, Bayon stuck out his hand. The two men clasped wrists.
"I will trust you, my lord. Please, do not let anyone else see this."
Richter looked at him, confused. "You have the books with you?" Bayon smiled and reached down to his belt. He took an overlarge pouch off of his waist. Uncinching the drawstring, he opened the top of the brown leather wallet. It opened, and opened, and opened. What Richter was seeing didn't seem possible, but the top of the coin purse-sized pouch stretched until the opening was the size of a dinner plate. Suddenly, Richter knew what he was looking at. Bayon had a pouch of holding. Bayon saw Richter's surprise and said,
"After my family had to run the first time, we understood the importance of protecting our valuables. As I said, the alchemy shop we ran became prosperous. We spent a small fortune on this pouch, but it was worth every copper. When I told you that I was able to grab a bag with all of our belongings," he hefted the pouch, "now you know what I meant."
The gnome turned his body so the others wouldn't see and started taking items out of the pouch. When the first book was removed, Richter took it and started to read the cover, but after some vigorous head shaking by Bayon, he just put the book into his own bag of holding. Book after book came out of the small pouch and went directly into Richter's bag. Moving like that, they were able to transfer 12 books in no time. Bayon cinched his pouch closed again and retied it to his waist. He looked at Richter again and said,
"I am trusting you, Lord Richter. To show you that I am in, as you said, I gift to you the level one spellbook in the collection you just received to do with as you will."
Richter smiled and thanked the gnome. "Let's go back to everyone else and tell Krom to leave some of that skin for you." Magic belt or not, after a long day, the Chaos Seed was looking forward to some sleep. Chapter 13, Day 112, Qyburn 2, 15,368 EBG.
"Lord Richter,"
came the deadpan but very loud call about a foot in front of his sleeping face.
"What? What's happening?"
Richter shot to his feet, his head barely missing the remnant that sped to the side. He grabbed his elementum short sword from the hook it hung on by his bed and unsheathed it, looking around his room for the danger. The guard stationed outside of his door also rushed in, sword drawn. Not seeing anything, Richter listened intently to check if the sounds of screams or battle could be heard. Not hearing anything besides his own wildly beating heart, he looked at the confused guard and then at the remnant.
"What's happening, Futin? Are we being attacked?"
"No, my lord,"
came the monotone reply. Nothing else was forthcoming. Not wasting time glaring at the orb, mainly because it never seemed to work, Richter said as calmly as he could,
"Then why did you wake me up?"
"Wait, scratch that question. Why the hell did you wake me up so loudly?"
"You told me that you wished for me to take the initiative and inform you of any relevant information. I was just notified of a village spawned quest. I assumed you would want to know, my lord.
Richter's heart started beating faster again. I'm sorry, Futin. You did the right thing. What's happening? For the village to give him a quest, it must be something vital. The last two had involved him unlocking two of the basic elements that comprised his place of power. The light at the center of the gray orb flared, and a prompt appeared in Richter's vision. You have been offered a quest. Know your backyard one. There are many hidden dangers and treasures within the bounds of your domain. Will you be master in name alone, or will you be the true power of your lands? Examine three sites that are at least interesting locations within your domain and determine their importance. Reward unknown. Penalty for failure to complete or accept this quest. Increased frequency of future attacks. Yes or no? Once again, there didn't seem to be a real choice. Richter selected yes and then looked at Futin. Where are these notable locations? Are these ruins?
I don't know, my lord.
The gray sphere just hovered there, the light in his center throbbing slowly. Richter glared at the remnant before he could stop himself. You don't know? You woke me up to tell me about a quest that deals with three places somewhere within the roughly 300 square miles that comprise the boundaries of the village lands, and you don't know where I'm supposed to go? Richter's voice rose in consternation. The guard showed prudence in backing out of the room and leaving his lord to yell at the weirdly glowing ball. Richter didn't even notice as he continued his tirade. You said you were told about this quest!
I said I was notified,
Futin answered, not in the least bit perturbed by his master's ire. What's the difference between being told and notified? Richter railed, waving his green blade above his head. Alma had been trying to go back to sleep, but now she hissed loudly. It wasn't clear even to her if she was pissed at Richter or Futin. The remnant was quiet for a moment.
I suppose there is not a meaningful difference, my lord.
Richter could literally feel the vein on his forehead throbbing. You're fucking with me, aren't you? Just tell me the truth, once and for all. Are you doing this on purpose? Futin was quiet for several seconds, and then succinctly said, no. There was silence. No? No what? Richter shouted. No, you aren't fucking with me, or no, you are not doing it on purpose. Futin was quiet for almost half a minute before succinctly saying, yes. Motherfucker! The guard on the other side of the door then heard a litany of profanity that he would not have thought possible even moments before. Though the thick door muffled much sound, he was fairly certain his lord was swearing in multiple language, as apparently common speak alone was not sufficient for the task. The man stood still and simply accepted the experience as a learning opportunity. Several days later, he used his memories of that night to swear at another guard in Orcish. Richter calmed down after several minutes. He even checked his stamina, expecting to find it greatly diminished after his verbal exertions, but the green bar remained full. Taking a series of deep, calming breaths, he asked, "Who told you about the quest, Futin?"
"I was notified by the powers of the village, my lord."
Richter's anger and irritation subsided somewhat in the face of this unexpected pronouncement. "The powers spoke to you?"
"Not in the way that you mean, Lord Richter. The powers are no more alive than the sun or time itself, which is to say, they are completely alive in a way that makes them unable to converse with you or share their thoughts, which would most likely be beyond your comprehension."
Richter blinked. He wasn't sure if he had just been insulted or been given a glimpse of some cosmic truth. He decided probably both, but after his abrupt awakening and the emotional drain of yelling at Futin for a solid 5 minutes, he was in no mood for existential questions in either case. So you were notified by the powers, but they didn't speak to you?
No, my lord. I suddenly had the knowledge that there was a danger. I know that this knowledge came from my connection with the powers. I cannot explain further.
Richter nodded absently, lost in thought. He hadn't really considered the powers as being alive, but he supposed it was entirely possible that ancient, immortal influences might have a consciousness in some fashion. Apparently, he wouldn't be having a chat with his life ley line, but it was comforting to know that he might get some advance warning in case of attack. Richter checked his clock. It was 4:12 in the morning. He hadn't been sleeping for more than 3 hours, yet surprisingly, he felt completely refreshed. The Lord of the Mist Village gave a long-suffering sigh and cinched up his sustenance belt. The extra strength he had received from his previous belt had been nice, but for a leader, what he was wearing now was the definite right choice.